Take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see now.
Amen. This doctorate is conferred in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for another day. We ask that you will anoint and grace every child of yours listening to the tapes from this intercessors, effective intercessors conference, going home with more than they came with. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your seats. Yesterday, I wanted to destroy any idea that some people are gifted and talented in intercession and prayer. Therefore, leave it to them. I wanted to make you see that the Jesus Christ who bought you with his blood also prayed. And so you need to build a personal prayer life. This is why I tried to trace for you that Jesus was human like us in every way. And he prayed. He prayed. And we need to build a stable life of prayer. Don't pray randomly. Yes. Don't say, because I'm an intercessor, whenever they call a conference of intercessors, I will go. And then once a while, they say, intercessors are meeting. Then you go and pray. And that's the end of your prayer life. No. You need to build a personal prayer life. You will need it in the day of emergency. Amen. So today, I want to work on the topic, the effective intercessor. The effective intercessor. Number one, why are intercessors important? Number two, what are the seven laws of effective intercession? And then finally, we shall have a period of ministration so that the spirit of intercession can fall once again. So, why? Why are intercessors critical? The first reason, which I gave yesterday, is because the Holy Spirit is a full-time intercessor. And Jesus himself is a full-time intercessor. So two persons out of the three in the Godhead believe and practice intercession. You remember the passages? Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. And Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. That's the first reason. Because the Holy Spirit dwelling in you is an intercessor. Therefore, if you are not interceding, you are working against him. Does that make sense? Because the person in you is an intercessor. And with great groans, he is interceding. So if you don't intercede, you are actually working against him. And Jesus ever lives to intercede for us. He saves us to the uttermost because he is an intercessor. Therefore, if you don't intercede, you can't get his heartbeat, because he ever lives to make intercession. But number two reason why intercessors are important is because they are scarce. Intercessors are scarce. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 28, all the way to 31. God says that the land was full of cheating, adultery, idolatry, and murder. And he wanted to destroy the land. So he was searching for a man among them to stand in the gap before him.
Ezekiel chapter 22, 28 to
31. It's a long passage, but you can read just 29 and 30.
Okay, 29 alone. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none.
You see, he found none. Therefore, yes, verse 31.
31 says, therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath.
Because there was no intercessor. Intercessors are scarce. And because they are scarce, God is able to pour out his wrath, and certain things happen that should not happen. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16.
Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16 says, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor.
He saw there was no man, he wondered there was no intercessor.
Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him.
Because intercessors are rare, people are not ready to pay the price to be an intercessor. Possibly you can say it's selfishness. For many of us, our whole world is made up of just four people. I, myself, me, and mine. So all your prayer, when I was pastoring at Nungwa, there was a certain lady in my church. No matter what prayer topic you raise from the platform, she prays only for her children, that they should be first in class. And for that, that's all her prayer every time.
Deliver safely.
Yes, that's all. So that's the second main reason. Intercessors are rare, and the demand and supply curve is such that their market price is high. Number three is, there are certain things God wants to do on earth, and he needs an intercessor to bring it to pass. There are certain things God wants to do on earth, and he needs an intercessor. When he finds an intercessor, or a group of intercessors, then we can have a revival. Then we can have a breakthrough. Why? It is God's heart and his desire to do the thing. But he needs to find a man, a woman, who will put everything aside and take up the intercession for it to happen. A good example is the Abraham one. In Genesis chapter 18, from 17 to 19, God said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Seeing that he through him all the earth is going to be blessed anyway, and he will command his family to obey the Lord. So he told him, do you know, I'm going, the wickedness and sin in Sodom and Gomorrah is such that I'm going there to see what's going to happen. Then Abraham got up and said, please, if you find 50 righteous men there, will you destroy? And 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. You see, there are things God wants to achieve on this earth. God wants to do. But he needs an intercessor who will rise up and say, please, don't do this. Please, do it this way. Then, he said, you people, you are lucky that somebody has held me. Amen. And so that is the third reason why the intercessor is critical in the system. And the fourth and final one is that the salvation of souls and the maturity, perfection of Christians depends heavily on intercession. Yesterday we read it, Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." In John chapter 17, verse 9 and verse 20, Jesus prayed for his disciples and people who believe on him because of the word of his disciples. So, in doing that, salvation of human soul is critical, and there is the need to get intercessors involved. For example, Psalm 2, verse 8. Let's read it.
Psalm 2, verse 8. "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and that uttermost part of the earth for thy possession."
Listen to what God is doing. He's saying, "You ask me, and I will give you the heathen for an inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for a possession. Ask me, I'll give you the nations." He wants to give you the nations, but ask and I'll give you. You see, ask and I'll give you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, that the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest so that he will send laborers into his vineyard. Let me ask you, if you have a farm, rice farm or corn farm, and the thing is ready for harvest, do I have to pray to you to ask you to send laborers into your harvest? You see, this is it. In the wisdom of God, he needs intercessors. And he puts certain promises intentionally in the Bible so that they can take hold of them and he can do what he wants to do concerning the salvation of human souls, maturity, and healing, etc. Amen. So this morning, I want to discuss with you seven of the most important laws of effective intercession. We have seen that the intercessor stands in front of God or before God on behalf of other people. That's his main job. So, what are the critical things that the intercessor needs? Number one is intimacy with God. You need to be a friend of God before he can tell you his secrets. God has friends. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 8 says, "Abraham, my friend." Abraham, my friend. God has friends. Jesus has friends. John chapter 15, verse 13 to 15. He says, "I no longer call you servants. I call you friends." So, God has friends. Jesus has friends. You need to build friendship, intimacy with God if you are an intercessor. That's the first law. Why? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 32 says that God confides in certain people on this earth. And that he shares his secrets with you.
Proverbs 3:32. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous.
God's secret is with whom? The righteous. God has secrets. God has secrets. And he shares them. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. He says, the Lord does nothing on this earth unless he has first revealed it to his sons, the prophets.
Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets.
God reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And in Psalm 25, verse 14, the Bible says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him.
The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Psalm 25 is 14.
Why is that important? It's important because if you don't know God's secret, you cannot intercede. You see, God has to tell you that he told Moses, leave me alone. I want to destroy all these Israelites. Because he said it, Moses can intercede. Once God tells you the secret in his heart, you can be an intercessor because you can now stand in the gap. But if he doesn't tell you, how on earth are you going to intercede? You don't even know. You don't know about it. This is why you need to build friendship, intimacy with God, and pay the price for the intimacy. Now, I want to stay here a little because it's important. We don't go about sharing our secrets with everybody. You share secrets with people we can trust, people we can confide in. It's then that you unload what is on your heart. This means that consciously, everybody who wishes to be an effective intercessor must put everything aside and build friendship with God. From God's side, the case is easy. Why? He created man in his image and after his likeness. And when Adam was in the garden, he was visiting him. It wasn't Adam who told God, I need a wife. It was God who saw he needed a wife and came up with a wife for him. You see, every animal God created, he came to Adam and said, what shall we call this one? Then man will say elephant. They say, ha! Okay, we shall call it elephant. So man named all the creatures. It means God is interested in man. Why was tabernacle built in the wilderness? Exodus 25 verse 9, God said, build a tabernacle so that I will come and dwell among you. Why was the temple built? So that the presence of God will come and be among his people. Now look at the New Testament. John chapter 14 verse 20, Jesus said, in that day, you will know that
John 14:20.
I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you.
On that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you.
You are in me, and I am in you. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. If God doesn't want us to be his friends, how come Jesus is in us and we are in him? Galatians 3:27 says, as many as have been baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. You see? And Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Matthew 28 verse 20. He said, lo, I am with you to the close of the age. Matthew 18, 20. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If God doesn't want human beings to be his friends, why does he want to come when we are gathered together? Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, eat with him, and he will eat with me. If he doesn't want us to be his friends, tell me. John 14, 1 to 3. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. When I finish, I'll come back and take you. So that where I am, there you may be also. If God, Jesus doesn't want us to be his friends, why does he want to prepare a place for us so that we will go and be there with him forever? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. It says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will first rise. Then we who are alive, we shall be changed and caught up in the air to meet the Lord. Then shall we forever be with the Lord. If Jesus doesn't want us, why does he say we shall forever be with him? I'm just trying to explain that human beings are slow to be intimate and friendly with God because they don't have time for him. His heart pains him. That when you were a sinner, he sent his son to die for you. You see? And he is doing everything. He has put his Holy Spirit to be in you and with you forever. The Holy Spirit is your seal to the day of redemption. If God doesn't want you to be his friend, why is he doing all this? But we human beings are not interested in being friends with God. We rather choose to be friends with the world. And James chapter 4 verse 4 says, anyone who wants to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. We'll read that one.
James 4, 4. Whereas ye know not, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
So if you're an intercessor, you are so worldly. The world is your palace. What happens is you cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17 says, anyone who loves the world, love for the Father is not in him.
1 John 2, 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
If you are an intercessor,
and the world passeth away,
yes,
and the lust thereof.
You are an intercessor,
he that doeth the will of
but
God.
You are cleaving to the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And you, everything worldly people are doing, you want to do. You want to sing worldly music. You want to dress worldly way. You want to do their things. Then after that, you say, Kori and the Hapaka. Yes, Father, intercessor has come. Kori and the, yes, intercessor has entered the courts of God. Yes, he hama haba. You are joking. Because if you want to be a friend of the world, go with the world. If you want to be a friend of God, you need to pay the price. And this intimacy is critical because if you are not close to God, he will not tell you his secrets. The things will come and hit you like they are hitting everybody. But if you are close to him, you see, this guy is close to me. As I'm breathing, my breath is even touching him. Because he is close to me. You see? So God, when he is close to you, when he is breathing, you can feel the breathing. Because he is close to you. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. So I think the point is made. Intimacy with God. But number two is the invitation to intercede. The invitation to intercede. Every intercessor must look for opportunities when God is inviting you to intercede. Let's read Daniel chapter 9 from verse 1.
Daniel chapter 9:1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the destructions of Jerusalem.
Now, listen. The prophet Jeremiah prophesied that Israel will be in captivity for 70 years. 70 years because they were on the promised land, and God said every year, every seventh year, give the promised land 1 year rest. Don't farm. Just let the land relax. Call it sabbatical. Every 7 years. And they lived on the land 490 years. They never gave the land 1 year for sabbatical. So he punished them and said that the 490 years divided by 7 is 70. I will punish you for 70 years. You will leave this land for 70 years. That's Jeremiah's prophecy. And Daniel is saying that I understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in desolations of Jerusalem. He saw that the time was up. Yes, the next verse.
And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes.
So, God, you said you will punish us for 70 years. The 70 years is up now. So, please. We need to understand that when there is an invitation from God to intercede, that's the time to strike. Let's read the Genesis 18, verse 20.
And the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I'll go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know.
Look at this. God has just eaten in the house of Abraham. And Abraham is seeing him off. And as they were walking, he said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I'm about to do? Abraham, you know, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah and their wickedness has come to me in heaven. I've come to see whether what they are saying is true or not. It's an invitation for intercession. Yes.
And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord.
Correct. He got it. He picked it. Yes.
And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein?
The business has begun. So, if the first step is intimacy with God, the second step is the invitation to intercede. He shared. It's like you tell your wife that I told Kweku not to go and swim. Yesterday, I heard that Kweku went and swam. Tomorrow, I'm going to tell him to go to school and bring his trunk. I won't pay his school fees again. He should stop the school. If that's how he wants to live his life, he should go and be swimming. That is an invitation to the mother to intercede. You see, what the father has shared is what the mother should pick up and say, oh, these boys, they are bad. Quick, every day I say that it's not because, and then you talk, and say, But you know, after these days, school is everything. If they don't go to school, they'll be in the house troubling you and da-da-da-da-da. By the time she finishes, the next morning, you wait for money to come to go and bring your trunk. No money comes because your mother has interceded. So, it is all through the scripture. When God wants to do something, he brings it out. And when he brings it out, then people who are smart, the intercessors, they pick it and they say, oh God, what are you, do you really want to do? Please. And for many of us, we are so far away from God that even if he is talking, you can't hear him. You see? Say, please, you be there. Now, what I want you to see is that he's the same person. But when he was far away, I was saying the same thing, but he was not hearing. And therefore, he could not react. But when he drew closer, then he could hear me. And when he heard me, he could now start dancing. So, James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you.
Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you.
Yeah, don't read the second, the other part. That part B is my third point. Clean your life. Clean your life. Clean your life. Clean your life. Yes, you can now read it.
Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
You see, the James chapter 5, verse 16, which is on our theme verse, is saying that
confess your faults one to another.
Yes.
And pray one for another, that he may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer for righteous man availeth much.
It is the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
So, let's say, I saw a thief in my house, and I go for a gun, and then I see a second thief also, and when I want to shoot the first thief, the second thief is begging me not to do it. Will you accept it? Because you are also equally guilty. After shooting him, I want to shoot you. So if you are interceding for Ghana, but the very sins Ghana is committing, you are part of it. You see, it is the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails. So you need to clean up your life. You know, many times we treasure the blood of Jesus and the cleansing of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. It's correct. But part of the game is that once the blood of Jesus has cleansed you, grace has been given to you to keep yourself correct. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 22 says, keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. That's the
first. Lay hands suddenly on no man.
Yes.
Neither be a partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure.
Keep thyself pure. 1 John 3:3. He says, any man who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure.
1 John chapter 3 verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure.
2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 says, since we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of flesh and spirit.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh.
What I want you to do, spirit. What I want you to notice is, it's not God will keep you pure. He said, keep thyself pure. Purify yourself. Cleanse yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 21 says, the stamp of God, the seal of God is sure, that the Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who names the name of the Lord should depart from iniquity. Because in a great house, there are not only vessels of silver and gold, but of wood and earth. Some for noble use, some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself, he will be a vessel of honor.
But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor.
Yes.
If a man therefore purge himself from these,
that's all I want. If a man or woman therefore purges himself from this, it's not that Jesus will purge you. You purge yourself. Are you with me? In Eve, we say that if you want to eat with adults, you must know how to wash your hand. You want to be intimate with God. You want him to share his secrets with you. You want to be able to intercede and tell God, hold God and say, no, don't do that, don't do that. Then you must wash your hands. You need to clean up your life. Are we on the same page?
Yes.
Because the more, when God sees that you are notorious in doing evil, his anger is against you first. Do you remember Aaron in Exodus? Exodus chapter 31 and 32 is a very sad chapter. When Moses went to the mountain 40 days, 40 nights to be with God, Aaron led the people to make a golden calf. And they started worshiping. These are the gods which brought you from Egypt, O Israel. And Moses said, the Lord was angry with Aaron to kill him, but I interceded for him. You see, I pleaded with God on his behalf. Because these are things which you yourself are guilty. How can you come to God to intercede? For what? And I can understand why there are few intercessors. Because few people want to pay the price of cleaning your life. You see, tell yourself that other people can do this. I am an intercessor. I can never do that. You see, I can never do that. Because if a man sins against another man, they can talk about it. But if you sin against God, who is going to intercede for you? So Jesus can hold a part of the game. But Hebrews chapter 10 verse 26 says, if we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, There is no sacrifice for sins. You know that this thing is not good. You know you are an intercessor. You should not do it. Then you go ahead and you are doing it. Are you seeking peace or war with God? Okay. Now, this brings me to my fourth point. The fourth important thing for every intercessor to mind is you need to build a heart and a conscience which is like that of God. You need to build a heart and a conscience which is like that of God. The first time I read Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, I wept. I wept because it pained God that he had created man. Yes.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Yes.
And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart.
It grieved God at his heart. It pained him that he had made man. And that day I vowed, I told God, I want to be one person. It will not pain you for creating me. You see, if God had made us in the image of Satan, I wonder how we will be. Because he made us in the image of God, and men are sleeping with men. Women are marrying women. Eh? Some are both. Eh? Women are changing to become men. Men are changing their sexes to become women, to use women's bathroom. You are in the image of God and you are doing this. What if he had created us in the image of Satan? You see, if you are an intercessor, you need to be angry at things God is angry at. You need to be happy with things God is happy with. Then you have his heart. This is 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. God told Samuel, I have found a man after my own heart.
1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue.
Yes.
The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart.
You see, a man after his own heart. What is the definition of a man after God's heart? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35.
1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35. And thou raise me up a faithful priest. Thou shalt do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind.
You see, I don't know whether you have ever been there before when somebody was slapping a dumb man. And the dumb person is like, and somebody comes and says, why are you slapping him? Eh? Why are you slapping him? Don't you see that he's dumb? Then you see the dumb man say, because what you are doing, you know, a person after God's heart is somebody who gets angry with things God is angry with. You see, you are happy with things God is happy with. You weep about things God is weeping about. Then you are after his heart. Then when you are an intercessor, you are effective. You are num. Because you pick the things the same way that God is picking it. You see? You pick the things. But if you don't do that, you have what the Bible calls a seared conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2.
1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
A seared conscience is a person who is not shocked at something which is shocking. I normally give a profane example that before I became a Christian, I had a certain friend, and she was in Mauli school. And because we were friends, she was telling me what happened to her. She was a virgin until the first day somebody broke her virginity. She said when she went to the dining hall, she felt everybody knew in the whole school. She felt naked. And she was so... Then she met a girl who has been doing it many times. And the girl said, oh, that's how the first one is. After many times, you don't feel anything again. That's what we call a seared conscience. You see, you are no longer shocked at what shocks God. Your conscience has entered a certain 18 in the football game that you have crossed thread. You see, people are beside you causing abortion, but you don't feel anything. You see, you don't feel anything. You see JSS girls, you know, sleeping around with boys, you don't feel anything. You see evil going on in the society. You couldn't be bothered. So it's okay, boys will be boys. When we also, you know, leave them, you know, they will grow out of it. You see, with that type of conscience, you call yourself an intercessor. For whom? You see, the things which shock God should shock you. Things which grieve God should grieve you. Things which pain God should pain you. Things which break God's heart should break your heart. When you are like that, you won't need the voice of the Holy Spirit with a trumpet coming to you and say, intercessor, intercede for Ghana, oh, the headmasters. No. Why? You yourself, you are picking it. Because your heart is already telling you that this is not good. Even if I were God, I would be angry with this thing. You see? This is why 1 Samuel 16:7 is important. David's big brother, Eliab, walked before Samuel, prophet. And the prophet Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And God said, I've rejected him. Don't look at his outward appearance. Men look at outward appearance when they see somebody in tie and a three-piece suit, and, you know, latest. Then they say, hey, child, this guy, come and sit at the front. But God looks at the heart.
But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Number 5. Fasting. The truth about fasting is that you place yourself in a gear where God's voice can come through. God is speaking, but the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And our preoccupations and busyness makes it such that we don't even hear our spirit man talking. But the way the spirit man is, God speaks in a still, small voice. And Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, when we cry, Abba, Father, the spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. Yes.
Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Listen, the Spirit is not talking with audible voice to your ear. The Spirit is not speaking to your head. The Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit, your inward man. Now, this is critical because there are many times we don't mind God's Spirit. We ignore Him, or we just neglect Him, or even we resist Him. Yet, that Spirit of God searches the deep things of God, and He has the information. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. He says, God has revealed what eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, what has never entered the heart of man. God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. Because the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God.
What I'm saying is that the Spirit of God knows whether man's gold will collapse or not. The Spirit of God knows the market price of the dollar in June. The Spirit of God knows which exercise can benefit your body. The Spirit of God knows who can be a better husband for you. The Spirit of God knows which investment of your time will pay better tomorrow. The Spirit of God knows which trotro you should board and which you should not board. The Spirit of God knows how long you are going to live. Therefore, some of the things you are doing, you tell you don't need this. You see, all those many insurances, you don't need this, you don't need it, you don't need this. The Spirit of God knows. He searches all things, even the deep things of God. Not only that. He was there at the creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God was moving upon the waters. So every rock which has been created, He knows. If you are doing geology in the university, the Holy Spirit can tell you. Not only that, of all the people who saw Jesus born on this earth, living, walking, miracles, dying on the cross, and His resurrection, only one person is alive now. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So, He lives inside your spirit. Galatians chapter 4 verse 6 says that because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Yes.
Galatians 4, 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
God has sent the Spirit of His Son where? In where? Into our heart. As you sit there now, inside your heart is the Spirit of God. And He has all the information today, tomorrow, tomorrow next. He has all here. Jesus said it. He said in John 16, 13 that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself. What He hears, He will say. He will show you things to come. 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 But you cannot hear this Holy Spirit when your life is too noisy and your belly is too full. So all we get up with is, something told me to take an umbrella. Something told me, something told me, something told me. Which thing told you? The Holy Spirit is in your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22. He said God has sent, who anointed, he has sent his Spirit into our hearts.
2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22.
Yes.
Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts.
In our hearts. Amen. So, whenever you fast, you set yourself apart and give the flesh holiday so that your spirit can hear more clearly. This is critical. Now, essentially, when we say fasting, we mean you stop eating food or taking drinks for spiritual reasons. But you can have what we call a supper fast. That means you eat breakfast, eat lunch, and then from 4 o'clock, you don't eat until the next morning. Supper fast is great for teachers because you teach in the classroom. So if you say you are fasting and you are breaking the fast at 12, you go to the classroom and teach, and when it's 12, you come and break the fast. Is that a fast? No, you are fasting to teach. You are not listening to anything. You see? So you can have fruit fast, the Daniel fast. In Daniel chapter 10, let's read it. Daniel chapter 10, let's read from verse 1.
Daniel 10 from verse 1. In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks.
I ate no pleasant bread. He was eating, but no pleasant bread.
Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth.
Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all. Till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled.
Yes. I tell church members that if you want to have more than 3 days fast without food, without water, tell your pastor, tell your doctor. But you can go 3 days without food, without water, and you won't die. If your body is complaining, tell it to keep quiet. Now, the 40-day fast Jesus had, he drank water because the Matthew 4:2 says at the end he was hungry, not thirsty. Yes, we are not told he was thirsty. Every doctor will tell you that without water for 40 days, you die. Your body is almost 3/4 water, even the bones. Therefore, without water for 40 days, you just die. Don't try it. The Moses fast is supernatural. The Jesus fast was without food, but with water. Now, the mistake too we make is that we think when you are fasting and waiting upon the Lord, Satan cannot speak to you. That's wrong. It was during Jesus' 40-day fast that Satan drew near and tempted him. So if he came near even Jesus, what about you? So it's not every dream, every vision, every revelation you receive which means God is speaking to you. You still have to test the spirits. But fasting for the intercessor is a solid weapon. Many of our Western brothers have knocked off fasting. In fact, one white man told me that when he comes to Africa as a missionary, he's already fasting by coming here. So he doesn't need to fast again. Please, Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast. Even elders in the church were ordained those days with fasting. Acts chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. So, in the Acts chapter 13, let's read verse 1 and 2.
Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted.
As they ministered to the Lord and fasted.
The Holy Ghost said.
The Holy Ghost said.
Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.
Well, you can go through the Bible and see how effective fasting is. God sent Jonah to Nineveh to tell them that 40 days I finish you. 40 days I finish you. 40 days I finish you. And when the messenger refused to go, a whole big fish, a whale, swallowed him in anger and went and vomited him in front of Nineveh when he said, I will go. So, 3 days, Jonah, he went up. Yeah, 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. 40 days. And he left the city to see it destroyed. But the scripture says that from the king to the animals, they fasted 3 days. They put on sackcloth and they cried to the God of heaven that, God, will you destroy us? And the Bible says, the evil that God planned towards Nineveh, he repented of it. You see, even Nineveh, he changed his mind. So it is true, David, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, when Nathan told him that because of this Bathsheba case, the child would die, the Bible says David fell on his face, put on sackcloth, and was on the ground for 7 days. He won't eat. He won't drink. People wanted to lift him up. He said no. Then the child died. And he saw his, people whispering. And he said, is the child dead? They said yes. Then he got up and had his bath, ate, went and worshipped. But even though that fast, the child was not healed. The next child born by Bathsheba is Solomon, the grandfather of Jesus Christ. No fast is a useless fast. Okay, number six, the prayer partner. The prayer partner. The scripture says, if two or three shall agree as touching anything on earth, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 18. Let's read verse 19 and 20. Matthew 18, 19 and 20.
Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Why do people have demonstrations? Kumi preku. Why do they have demonstrations? You hear that workers at Goyle, they are marching with placards saying, no, increase our salary. Hey, because, you see, it becomes a pressure point when 10, 50, 100, 200 people gather together with placards and march the streets, say we are going to present a petition to the government. It is a pressure point. You see, intercession is coming to God so that you can push him concerning an issue. The God we have knows the end from the beginning. It's not that he changes his mind in the sense that he doesn't know what he is doing. It is that he has made allowance for the intercessor to stand in the gap so that he can change what he planned. Should I come again? Let's read Jeremiah chapter 18 from verse 7 to 10. Jeremiah 18.
At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down. And to destroy, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them.
You see, it's an allowance God has made as God that, okay, I say you will die next year, but if you can repent and turn towards me, the evil I plan that you die next year, I'll change it. It is part of my free will as God, my sovereignty. It's not, you know, some people take it to mean that you can push God and force him to change. It's not that. What is happening is that he has made an allowance, a provision within his will, that if I say something and you are able to intercede and pray and push, I reserve the right to change my mind and do another thing. And we all need to understand this, because you see, intercession means you are standing in the presence of God on behalf of somebody. And you are not only standing, you are trying to influence God's decision so that he will change what he wants to do. So if you are able to get 2, 3, 4, 5 people and you all go before God with placard, have mercy on Ghana, have mercy on Ghana, have mercy on Ghana, have mercy on Ghana, have mercy on Ghana. Heaven records it. And what God planned to do, because of those, that team, pressure group with their placard, what he planned to do, he does not do it. I remember when we were in Mauritania, we organized a 40-day fast for the whole church. And then we made a big list. The police, the soldiers, the natives, the government, the schools, big list. And we started praying. We were shocked. Sometimes you pray and you are shocked at the answer. It happened in Acts chapter 12. From verse 12, they were praying that Peter should be released from heaven, from prison. But when Peter came to the door and knocked, Rhoda said, "It's Peter." They said, "Oh, you are out of your mind." Say, "It's Peter." Say, "Oh, it's his angel." They were at a prayer meeting interceding for Peter that God, please release him for us. But when Peter was released, they were shocked. It happens. It happens that I think about four or so testimonies really shook us. One of them was the corruption of the Mauritanian police. Everywhere they see you, they will collect money from you. The police were so corrupt. So we put it in our prayer, in our fast. We were Mauritanian police. God, do something about it. Monday, all the taxi drivers in Nouakchott parked their taxis. And the pressman asked them, why? He said, oh, we are on strike. What is happening? Say the police. Everywhere they see us, they sir, 200 Uguia. They will collect it from you. You work for them. Because when you go to Adabraka, they collect 200. When you come to Damfa, they collect 200. You are at Adenta, they collect. In the time the police see you, they take money. So we won't work again. And the government drove all the police off the streets. That week, when we were in Tasidi. The second answer to prayer we got was the gutters. There are no gutters. Well, right now, it's a long time since I went. But there were absolutely no gutters in the whole city. No gutter. So, you see filth and garbage everywhere. They put it everywhere. Particularly when they are fasting, Ramadan times, you know, then they spit and everything. The whole place was one big baller. So we were crying to God that, oh, this our waste disposal. We beg you, God, help us. That Monday, we saw these big garbage trucks. And they were going around the whole city just gathering garbage. So we asked. They said Israel had donated 50 garbage collectors. And they were going around the city cleaning up the city. Israel in Mauritania, 99% Muslim country. If that's not God, is it the devil? Yeah. The third one was Sunday. When we got to Mauritania, Sunday was a working day. They don't go to work on Friday and Saturday because they are Muslims. And they had been doing it for 30 years. Then we started our fast and praying. And we heard a rumor that they wanted to change and make Sunday a holiday. Huh? As if a joke. They just announced it over the holiday, over the radio, and changed. 30 years. Sunday was a working day. Friday was the holiday. They changed it and made Sunday a day of rest. And they were asking the government, why do you change it? He said, well, when they are dealing with the banks in America and the rest of the world, Sunday those banks are resting and their banks are working, so you are not able to penetrate. That's why. Yes. And we used to gather and pray. Then after some time we left Mauritania. And they stopped the prayer. And the country changed back to Sunday working day and Friday holiday. So, if anybody tells me that prayer intercession doesn't work, I don't look at you twice. Because I can see the power. So, if you are able to get the local church, you are able to get a lot of Christians, and they come up with an intercession on a specific topic and raise placards before God and do a demonstration, a march, put on sackcloth, sleep on the ground, and yeah. Wow. Amen. Allow me to add the last two. Posture in intercession matters. Your posture. in intercession matters. In the Bible, a lot of times, you see people putting on sackcloth. Sackcloth is like kotoku. Yeah, like the what we put charcoal in. Or rice. And it is made such that you can't wear it as a dress. It's not comfortable. So when somebody puts on sackcloth before God, then God knows that, hey, this guy, you are serious. He's serious. So 2 Kings chapter 20, I want to see whether we can knock only verse 7. No. Please take it. Let's take it from verse. Okay, let's read it. They say I have time, so let's read it. From verse 1.
2 Kings chapter 20 from verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. The prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live.
Now the prophet Isaiah, when he tells you something, he's finished. Because his prophecy is the longest, 66 chapters. He's not joking. When he comes to tell you anything, finish. You are finished. So God sent him to tell Hezekiah that, please, put your house in order. You will die. This sickness, you won't get up.
Then he turned his face to the wall. And prayed unto the Lord, saying. I beseech thee, O Lord.
Yes.
Remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart.
Do you see the righteousness? You see? God, do you want to kill me? Look at how I've walked before you. With a perfect heart in truth. You want to kill me?
And I've done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah the
Turn again. You see, God is in heaven. He told Isaiah to tell the guy, you will die. He wasn't joking. But the man turned towards the wall and wept and said, God, do you want to kill me? Do you really want to kill me? Look, I have walked before you all my life, doing what is right. You want to kill me? And he wept. And God told Isaiah, go back. Go back. This is what I'm saying. You see, it's not that God doesn't know what he's about, but he has put it within his permissive will that if you will pray about certain things, he can change it for you. Yes.
Tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus said the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears.
God sees tears. Behold, this is why women are so effective in intercession. Because their tears are very close to the surface. You see? So, small thing, they weep. So, because of that, God hears them very easily. Most men never weep until their goat is dead. The goat they were preparing for Christmas.
Behold, I'll heal thee. Yes. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord.
I will heal you. Third day you go up to the house of the Lord. Yes.
And I will add unto thy days 15 years.
15 years. 15 years. 15 years. Do you know we waste our lives a lot? You can actually go to God and get 15 years extra for life. You know, even if Manchester United and Chelsea are playing and it is 0-0 by the 90th minute, they are able to give them extra. You can get 15 years extra from God. Most of us just live our lives and we are so dry in prayer that, you know, even when God sends a thing, he waits to see whether you will say something. If you don't say anything, well, you have it. But if you say something, he will say, go back and tell the person, prophesy to the person that I said you will die next year. I'm giving you 15 years. Take it. I'll heal you. You see, those who don't intercede and pray in the church, they think they are cheating as intercessors. Because when you play the drums, they give you money. Eh? But when you are intercessor, nobody pays you. Because they don't see you. You are not at the front with the mic. So the rest of the church, they feel they are cheating us. So that we don't know anything. That's why we are intercessors. But this is our salary. You see, you get gyra because you know how to hold God. There are certain things God has firmly planned that this thing will happen this way. But when an intercessor goes to take hold of him, he says, I see your tears. Okay. It's all right. You go. It's okay. That's it. Your enemies will wait for the thing to happen. Bang! It won't happen. It won't happen. Because you are an intercessor. You know the road there. Oh, hallelujah! So, putting on sackcloth, tears, kneeling down, falling on your face, all those things, please, use them with caution. Because I remember one time I was lying on the floor for so long that I became sick. You know, the cold on the floor got into my system. Uh-huh. And praying height. He died at the age of 30 because he prayed and interceded so much that his heart moved to the other side. So you must know that it's expensive. Uh-huh. But this is the truth of the matter. That God wants to see you part of the intercession. He wants to catch you being involved in the intercession. Then number 7, is it? Where are we? Number 8. Okay. Confess the sins of the people you are interceding for. If you are interceding for a nation, you are interceding for a family, you are interceding for a school, you are interceding for a company, you need to confess the sins. You can find all that in Daniel chapter 9, Ezra chapter 9, Nehemiah chapter 1. Because the confession, you know, makes God know that you understand where I am coming from. No, it was Ezra who told God that I am ashamed to lift up my face before you as an Israelite because of the way our people are behaving. You know, and when Indira Gandhi died, one of the Indian ministers, members of parliament said, I am ashamed to be an Indian because we have killed the father. We have killed the daughter too. You know, we Indians. But what it means is that when you look at the records, what the people are doing before you are coming to intercede, if you don't tell God he is right and they are wrong, let's say your daughter went and slept with a boy in town and came back the next day. And you heard it. You are the father. You took a king. Amma. I heard that you went to, you slept out yesterday. Then you wanted to throw it. And your wife came and held your hand. And said, whoa. You two, yours is too much. If a girl goes to sleep in town the next day, what at all is it that you are taking this big care? How do you feel? How do you feel? You see, because you would like to cane the mother too. Because she is supporting the evil. An intercessor should clearly tell God that you are right, we are wrong. You see, what we are doing is not good. Even if I were in your position and somebody does this, I won't be happy. So you are right. Even you, we have punished us less than we deserve. If you do that before you say we beg, he will listen. But if you come with the attitude that, oh, you God cry, yours is too much, too known. This thing, this small thing, you are getting angry. Why do you get angry like that? You say that we shouldn't get angry, and you yourself, you get angry like that. For me, this type of God, I don't think I like what you are doing. Stop. That's not intercession. You can't get God's attention with that. So you need to tell God clearly that you are right. These are the places I see that they haven't done well. Look, they shouldn't have done this. Look, Ghanaians should have. Look, Ghanaians, no, Father, we are not trying. Because look at Togo, the unrest in Togo. Look at Benin. Look at Cote d'Ivoire. Look at Nigeria. Civil war. All these things. You have kept Ghana. Oh. Well, then we should be more serious with you, Father. If you start like that, before you start interceding, then his heart, you know, the hernia will calm down. Because he now understands that, okay, you know how I feel. And then, yeah. Well, let me finish off with putting your life on the line as an intercessor. Let's read the Exodus 32, verse 31-33.
Exodus 32:31-33.
This is after the golden calf matter.
And Moses
is going to intercede.
Returned unto the Lord and said, oh, these people have sinned a great sin, and I've made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written.
Now, nobody knew God like Moses. But in intercession, he was saying, look, Father, these people have sinned. They have made God of idols. But I'm pleading with you, forgive them. If you won't, blot my name from the book of life. Just cancel my name. Now, Moses knew the seriousness of what he was saying. And so, He got God's attention. You see? Once again, your child does something. You take a stick, you want to hit. Then your wife comes between the two of you. You don't want to beat your wife. So you say, you are you. So the intercessor takes the blows. Because you are putting your life on the line so that God can hear you and change the situation. Okay, you can. So
and
God.
The Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book.
Now another gentleman is Paul. Let's read the Romans chapter 9, verse 1.
Romans 9:1-3. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed.
I wish I would be cursed.
From Christ for my brethren.
I will be cursed from Christ because of my brothers.
My kinsmen according to the flesh.
Yes. The people of Israel.
Who are Israelites. To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory.
I wish God would curse me. And separate me from himself. As I stand on behalf of my people Israel. Chapter 10 verse 1.
Chapter 10, verse 1 of Romans. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved.
So, all I'm trying to say is the intercessor must be prepared to pay the price for intercession. If you are an intercessor for your pastor, bullets meant for your pastor will hit you. They will hit you because you are standing as a shield for him. If you are interceding for your husband, bullets meant for your husband will hit you. You need to consider seriously before you take up the post of intercessor. Because when two people are fighting and you are going to separate them, they knock you. Sometimes they consider you as the target, the opponent, because you are standing, the blow they meant for the other person, then boom, they give you. So, intercessors necessarily are shields. You can choose, depending on the sensitivity, we are going to pray, the sensitivity to be one of those who stand in the gap for your pastor. You can choose, as you listen to God, to stand in the gap for Ghana, for universities, for JHS, or, you know, every one of us depending on the call. I remember when I was going to Mauritania, whenever I started speaking in tongues, my jaw will be heavy. And I'll be speaking. When I went and came back, that particular oil left. So you need to understand that God wakes you up to intercede at certain times. We call it burden. It's a burden. Many times, if you don't recognize the burden, you shake it off. Why am I feeling like this? But as you do the trial and error, a time comes when you become more and more sensitive to the burden. Sometimes, and this burden is just a feeling of heaviness. Sometimes you wake up in the night with speaking in tongues. Because God is waking you up to intercede on an issue. I remember one occasion we went to church, and one of my elders shared that 4 a.m. he just got up and spoke in tongues until 5 a.m. The next morning, he heard that his sister-in-law was in labor and was rushed to the hospital 4 a.m. and she delivered at 5 a.m. So you can have that. Another way it comes is compassion. You see, Matthew chapter 9 verse 36 says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he was filled with compassion. So, you don't feel like weeping. Do you understand? But you see that tears are coming. You yourself, you know that you are not sad. But you are weeping. You are weeping. Tears are coming. So it is, it's one of the ways the Spirit of God is touching you for intercession, compassion. Matthew chapter, Luke 19:41. He said, when Jesus saw the city of Jerusalem, he wept over it. He wept over it.
Luke 19:41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it.
He wept over it. So sometimes it's weeping. And there have been many times you see that you are praying on different topics, and one particular topic is mentioned, and you start weeping. Yeah. You need to understand that. Sometimes too, it is just a burning in your heart. Luke 24:32. Jesus' disciples said, did not our hearts burn within us as we listened to him on the way? It's just a burning in your heart. And when we start praying, there is a spirit called the spirit of prayer and supplication. It's in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10.
Zechariah 12:10. And I'll pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication.
The spirit of grace and supplication. The spirit of grace. Don't leave this room today without the spirit of grace and supplication. The spirit of grace to pray and not be tired. You know, a grace and supplication. You notice that something is doing you inside. Yes.
And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn.
One of the areas which I find myself very defective in is that the scripture says the Holy Spirit groans within us. That groan, when he is groaning, it needs to cry in my spirit. So that when he is groaning, I can groan. I can groan with him. And know that this is exactly what he wants me to pray about. I have a few intercessors who report to me once a while as they pray for me. I told myself, I have 16 brothers and sisters. Until I die, I will pray for them every day. You see, I pray for them every day. That's why I'm in the family. I am the priest of the family. So, I have to pray for them. I believe that after this conference, some corporations and some companies will hire intercessors. Do you understand? So that about 3 people in, say, Cocoa Board, they are paying you every month like every worker, but your work is intercession for Cocoa Board. State Insurance intercessors. Intercessors for Bank of Ghana. Yeah. So they are paying you like the workers, but your work is to intercede. Yes. Hallelujah. Shall we be on our feet?
Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
You are welcome. Spirit of God is here. He is raising intercessors for himself. He is raising intercessors for himself. Amen. Amen. Please lift up your hands and say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
You bought me with your blood.
You bought me with your blood.
I am yours.
I am yours.
I am yours.
I am yours.
My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
I have come for a spirit of grace and supplication.
I have come for the spirit of grace and supplication.
I ask for a spirit of intercession.
I ask for the spirit of intercession.
Anoint me.
Anoint me.
Fill me.
Fill me.
Baptize me.
Baptize me.
Overflow.
Overflow.
That out of my belly.
That out of my belly.
Rivers of living water.
Rivers of living water
will gush forth.
Will gush forth.
Spirit of intercession.
Spirit of intercession.
Come.
Come.
Come again.
Come again.
Fill me.
Fill me.
Fill me to overflow.
Fill me to overflow.
I am yours.
I am yours.
Receive, be filled, spirit of grace and supplication, spirit of grace and supplication, spirit of intercession, spirit of intercession. Rabbi,
In the name of Jesus.
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.